So just come into that nice, quiet place where you're feeling the connection that you've been creating all day in this space that has become sacred. So take a breath. And sink into that. Just relax. And let your energy, your consciousness come from your head, your thoughts, and doing into that place of being and being right here. Take another breath. And as you breathe, feel your heart. Just feel your heart. There it is, doing such a wonderful job of keeping you alive, but also connecting you with a field of compassion and coherence that's created as we are here together for ourselves, but also for each other, for this family, for the space that we hold for each other, and the place that we get to together. Because it does take a village, it takes a family to create a sacred space and to hold it for each other and to bring the energy of the divine here, right here, in whatever way you experience that. We experience it together. And take another breath. Feel your heart again and know that there is love flowing in and flowing out with each breath. There is the honoring of the human flowing in and flowing out. And there is the information that's so lovingly and beautifully given to that heart and your soul from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. This is part two of something that we titled The Journey of the Human Soul. And in part one, we talked about that which was soul preparation. Not only that, we spoke of the beauty of what the soul is, made in His image, part of God. Not part from, but a part of. That is who you are at a spiritual level. All hidden from you very well by coming down in a corporeal form and working in what you would call four dimensions. We spoke also about that which was added to that beautiful soul that was needed for those especially old souls to come in, memory. The intrinsic abilities from a past life that simply are in the DNA. These things, we didn't say, are stored in certain portions of the DNA of your body. If you had to know where these things are, that's where they are. You have to have a corporeal storage medium, even for esoteric things. It cannot all then reside in some consciousness space that you can't identify. It's all in the DNA. There's room in the DNA for so many things besides the blueprint of the human body. Your Akashic record is there. There's more. There are some overlays, I'll call them, that have nothing to do with the storage of abilities or past lives or memories. But even before we go to the overlays, I want to tell you this. Everything that happened in all of your lives is still there. Even some of the remarkably boring things are still there. Some of you pick these up, dear ones, in dreams, especially what I will call dreams that repeat. You'll find yourself in a place you've never been, doing something you've never done, over and over. This is classic memories of small detailed things that made a difference somehow in a past life. It's all there. Past life readers will tell you one of the attributes of reading is that it's not time stamped. And what I mean by that is you can't go back and locate necessarily what lifetime number it is. You might analyze where it was in history by what you feel you might have been wearing, but that's it. So the Akashic memory, called the past life memory, is not arranged like a library. It's not numbered. You remember energy. And the energies come to the surface that are most profound for you now. And in this new energy, I'll tell you, the ones that come to the surface, an old soul, are shamanic memories. You're starting to remember wisdom. The entire basis for the sisterhood, as you know it, with Meli Ha, is that since 2012, many women are starting to remember that shamans are women. And that is how it started. They have the equipment. They have that which is intuition. They have the compassion for child care, child giving, life. They have all of the things you would want as mom to guide you through life and your spirituality. That is starting to be remembered. That's different from what it was. And the reason why that organization even exists. You see, your Akash is starting to awaken. But that's not what this is about. I want to tell you about the overlays. The soul hasn't even come into the planet yet, and we're starting to design it. Now, this design of the soul coming in is your design. It contains all of the things it needs to from your past lives of being a human being. Overlays. The overlays we're going to call, one is what you have described as karma. Now, karma, as defined, is unfinished business. Things that perhaps happened in a past life that you either need to finish, or in some cultures, you need to have it done to you. And that's a finish, a completion of sorts. Either way, there is karmic overlay, which when you come into the planet, for some, they feel it. There's something you're supposed to do. There's some completion you're supposed to have. And it often will lay upon you completely apart from any Akashic memories, totally. That's the karma. Dear ones, when I arrived in 1989, the first thing I told my partner was that he needed to drop his karma. And that there was an energy coming that would not support it. That it needed to be eliminated for him to move on. He didn't understand what that was because he never dealt with karma. It made it easier to dismiss it for him, for he didn't know what it was. A lot more difficult for some humanity to dismiss karma when they're taught that that's what their life is about. The first transcribed publication, which you call Book One, Drop Your Karma. That was what we said. It was an engine of energy for an old time. It gets in the way of an old soul in a new time. So perhaps there are those listening now or later or in this room who have looked at this all very carefully and said, well, this is my karma and this is what I'm supposed to do, I will tell you, karma plays no part in your life. None. You are to drop it all because it's an old system of completion. You don't need it. There are other things right now that you need far more than that. It's an awakening to higher purpose. Karma is not higher purpose. In the past, it served its purpose, indeed, and it was needed and necessary and accurate. Not now. The next one we'll call contract. All of these placed into the soul in a beautiful way before you ever came into this planet. Now, contract, not to be confused with something I'm going to tell you in a moment regarding the wind of birth. But contract, as described now, is what some of you feel you're about. I've come into this planet, you say, in order to build a healing center, in order to write a book, in order to do this or that, I have come with my talents in order to add something to this and make this happen. I can feel it. And all of that is accurate. But here's what I want to tell you about that which you believe is contract. It's a bad word. For contract in your culture is a binding agreement. It's something you must do because you signed on for it. I would like to ask you this. How does that fit in with free choice? And the answer is it doesn't. Contract is something that occurs when you get here. It's an invisible ink. You can rewrite it at any time you wish based upon new things you discover or even an elevated consciousness that you might then enjoy. Contracts are that which are beginning baselines. That's all they are. They aren't something that you have for life no matter what. There are so many light workers who have opportunities to move on to something higher and stop it and say, yes, but that wasn't my contract. My contract was this, and they go on to try to fulfill it and never do. The contract is simply a beginning marker. It helps you to point to a direction that is going to bring you in contact with that which is good and with others who have similar ideas of contract. Past that, again, rewrite it at any time you wish. Doesn't it make sense that when you come across conditions and situations that are grander and higher than that which you had before in a past life, that you would then go up those stairs and move into a situation that has no contract because you've never been there? And that's when you say, God bless the contract that got me to these stairs. You bless it and send it away and climb them into a higher consciousness and a new part of life with new people and new friends, new locations, all of these things that had nothing to do with the energy of your birth. I hope you would understand that. That is the difference between what you thought was a contract and now what is the truth of a contract. Old soul, you have free choice. You have free choice to move to higher consciousnesses. You have free choice to change your ideas of what this planet needs, where you fit in, and not be a slave to something that you felt in an old energy that you felt was you. Because that which is you can be redefined completely by you at any time you want. Anytime. We gave a dramatic demonstration of this not too long ago. We told you you're defined from birth. As a review, we told you that if you take a sticky note and start writing all the things that define you and put it on your body, you're going to have that which is defined from your gender. You're going to be defined by your culture, who you are, what you are, even that which you're supposed to believe because of birth, that which your parents taught you, that which your instructors taught you, sticky, 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 sticky. That's who you are, and you walk around with all the sticky notes and everybody reads them. That's who you are. What part did you play in that? The answer is none. We said maybe it's time to to do what the dogs do when they take a bath, and shake so much that all the sticky notes fall off. And then you take one and define it for the first time. Who am I? And you write it carefully, child of God. Put it on. And you go from there. No place on there is a sticky note with your contract, because it's fallen off with all of the others. Because you're now free choice to see things at a higher level than ever before. These are some of the things which will go into you, the preparation of coming to this planet every single time. You think it's automatic, that there's some kind of system that churns you out, even upstairs, but in that place beyond the veil, you think of it the way it is here, and it isn't. Careful, loving, beautiful, and in a time the time frame is not even a frame, it's outside of time. So you might say that there's a space given for this, which is beyond that which is your clock. Careful it is, beautiful it is. And then you would say, because you're a human being, what choice do I have in any of it? And the answer is so profound. There's nobody sitting designing this. You're doing it. You're picking up the pieces and putting them right back where they belong. You are assembling you carefully, putting together that which is the soul, the DNA memory, the Akashic record, overlays, all that is there carefully. You're doing it. You're doing it because you have the mind of God. You're a piece of the whole when you're not here. And you're about ready to come back. This is where it gets complicated and magnificent. We have told you there is something called the wind of birth. And we can't define it. Two other times we've tried, there are no words. Imagine you stand on the other side of the veil and there is seemingly a wind blowing. And through that gap going to the planet, the wind blows toward you, goes up. Because that's where you're going. You're sensing all of the energy that is there. Now the complexity begins. We've told you that you incarnate on purpose with attributes and in groups and with people. That here, now, you might say, that would never have happened. I would never have chosen this family. Oh, yes, you did. This is complicated. For the better good of consciousness, for yourself, for those, you incarnate, sometimes as the teacher, sometimes as the one to be taught. Sometimes you incarnate profoundly as lessons for others. I want you to think for a moment of what that might be. You see, you're not alone. Do the statistics. How many are born every day on the planet? Take that number and imagine for a moment that day you're all together at the wind of birth. Let's say that there's a stadium full of you, but you all know one another. And the magnificence of this meeting is you all know where you're going and what you're going to do. If this were an earthly meeting, there would be tears. Tears of appreciation and joy for what you're about to do. And one by one, you will watch the souls go into that place, that wind of birth, and into a corporeal body on the other side. And as you meet them and you see them as they go in, one by one, two by two sometimes, you know their stories. You know all of it. Because on the other side of the veil, all things are known. Other souls just like you, some of which you know, some of whom you know, are there, coming back. Some of them you recognize because they're going to be in your group. Eventually, when you get there and you meet one another, some are not. They're going to their own groups. But the profound ones are happening as well. There goes that one. Blessed is he who's decided to come to the earth and live for 3 months and come back. Are you getting this? That was the choice of the soul. To come in and die early because there was something to tell a parent. It was a bond of love or not, depending upon how the parents chose to see it. He was coming down to do something that would seem so sorrowful at the moment. And yet it would make such a difference in their lives forever. And that was what he was going to do. Another one was coming in to live until they were a teenager. Another one just like that until they were 24. And at that time, they knew that in the field, the potential and the family and all the things around them is that they would come back with our own choice through what you call the shame of suicide. They went in with that potential, dear ones, and it wasn't shameful. It was something designed to kick the parents in the pants and make them have decisions they would never have made otherwise, or maybe to put them in a place where they'd look around and search for God and find it. You think of that? That's a sacrifice. That's not shameful. That's beautiful. Think of somebody who would go through that and think, this is going to change the life of my parents. And for a little while, it's going to be something shameful. But there'll come a time, perhaps, when they will celebrate my life and thank me for this. Because now, they are old souls who awaken. They're helping the planet. And they never would have before. And that's my purpose. Now that is another kind of contract, isn't it? That is a contract that could be or could be not manifested depending upon what happens when you get to the planet at the wind of birth. That's one you often make up as you go in and choose your parents. Many right now are choosing the same parental DNA. They're coming back as another generation in the same family. What this means is that some of you moms and dads are very quiet about what you suspect, that your parents are your grandchildren. And you see it in their eyes. And every once in a while when they're young, they'll look at you and say something. And you'll know that's true. Because they're saying things they're not supposed to know. This is how profound the difference is today, coming into the planet, as it was in the days of karma, when there was an old type of push and pull energy that pushed you into and pulled you out. The energy of completion, that's not what this is about anymore. You watch others go into that wind of birth, into the families that they have chosen, the cultures they've chosen, the groups they've chosen. You watch the few who know this is the life where they'll change gender. And they know what that's going to be like. And that's going to be a difficult life for a little while, only for a little while. They know what it means because they've done it before. You've all done it before. There's a lot of backslapping that goes on at the wind of birth. That's the best thing I can tell you of how this feels as a soul coming in, knowing that in a moment, everything spectacular and knowing will go away. And in that, the wind of birth, you're taken down to the basics. There's nothing wrong with a corporeal body, but dear ones, low consciousness is so dark from where you've been. There are things happening on this planet right now, multiple things to change the energy of the wind of birth. And I'm going to close with this because I'm not quite finished, and I'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about how it feels to awaken from this. What are some of the attributes that push and pull the awakening of this? If you come in with full equipment, let's say you come in with a ton of things in your soul. They don't weigh a thing, but that's what it's like with libraries full of things. And then I tell you, you're on book one, page three. That's who you are, humanity. But suddenly, in this new energy, the library starts to show. And at that wind of birth, what those right now who are coming in today, right now, over and over, right now, at the wind of birth, who are listening to this and smiling, they know something. And I want to tell you something about what they know. That when they arrive on this planet and start to grow up, almost immediately they're going to remember things they never remembered before. Because evolution is starting to happen in consciousness. Some of them are going to walk early. Some of them are going to read without teaching. You're going to start remembering the things that you did before and move on quickly. But most, the wisdom, they'll know who they are. At some level, they know they're an old soul. At some level, they're starting to be interested right away in esoteric things instead of waiting until they're 40. You've met some of these. There are young people walking on this earth right now who are very interested in who they are. They're moving in the circles of what young people do, listening to their own music. They have their own habits and looks, but I'll tell you that they're very interested in esoteric things. They've made some interesting decisions, not to go to church, not to have children for a while. They're looking at things that you never looked at that way. That perhaps your children never looked at it that way. These are the new human beings, starting to act differently, socialize differently, come to meetings like this differently. That's who they are. It's happening now, right now. That's going to happen with you as well. Old souls will pick up where they left off. You will not have to learn all this again. And that means that all the mistakes you've made, you'll never make again. When you come back fresh, young, ready to go, and wise, it's a different life, dear ones. And that should make a difference to those of you who said, I'm never coming back. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. But fresh and new and with the wisdom, right now, I'll tell you how you're feeling, old soul. You're tired. You're tired of battling the old energy for all these years to get you to a place called 2012. And now you go into another kind of battle, and that's called change. You're tired. Live your years, but when you come back at that wind of birth, I want you to hear my words again, and you will. When I say you're going to have a smile on your face, and you're going to say, is it my turn? Is it my turn? Is it my turn? Is it my turn? You want to come back because you know this is going to be fun. What you know is spectacular, and you've never, ever been born with this kind of consciousness, remembrance, before, ever. You'll go right to that which is compassionate and makes sense. You will epitomize and define new human nature. That's who you are. That's the wind of birth. There's more. All the things that you might suspect that you always wondered about, at the wind of birth, that is where the decisions in the now are made about families and groups and genders, not some other time. You cannot say right now, I'm coming back as. And the only differences are when that is going to be something that's going to change the planet and you know it. There are a few who know what they're going to do when they get here. who know where they're going because it's part of an extension of now and what they're doing. You're in training for what's coming. Not all, but some. So it is complex, is it not? That which takes place in a reality that you cannot imagine, that you cannot extend your mind to believe. And all these metaphors we've given you are so you can see it kind of in your mind's eye, kind of. But I don't want anybody to miss this. It's not an apparatus or system. It's magnificent. It drips with the love of God. All of you know at that point in time that you will lose that which is magnificence in your memory and you'll have to come to the earth and discover it. That's going to be part three. I tell you these things, whether you believe them or not, because I want to point out how magnificent you are and what goes into you, every single one coming to the planet. And how you look at things, perhaps, even while you're here, and wonder how they happened, or why me, or why now. And you start to recognize and realize there's purpose for everything. The wisdom of the old soul will look around and understand and realize some of the things going on a bigger picture of this planet and world are to prepare it for you coming back. That some of the things that seem unusually dysfunctional that might be happening now are on purpose. That sometimes it takes dysfunction to find out what function should be, especially when the new functionality is going to be a new paradigm. You cannot break paradigms easily. They don't flow into each other. They never have. You know that. Especially behavior. And so whether it's corporate or politic, or whether it's parenting or teaching, there are new paradigms afoot for all of that. All of that. Some will break before they restart. Some won't have to. We've talked about this. We've talked about an integration of one paradigm into another, and so slow change is possible. It is, but not for all. That's what's going on. That should explain some of the things you see now that worry you, or that you look at and say, I don't believe what's happening. It can't be good. Oh, yes, it can. If you look at it from the perspective of an old soul who's here many, many times and will be here many, many times, it's just right on schedule. Because the new paradigms that will result from the dysfunction today will be needed for the new earth. Old soul, this is why you're here. This is why you're listening. This is the new human. All of these things, again, I tell you, so that you'll be aware of the care that goes into you. I hope your self-worth has been bolstered just a little by the knowledge of that piece of God in you being part of the whole. You know what God looks at you and sees? God sees God. More than children of God, part of God. That's who you are. I'll be back. We continue. And so it is.